May Yahweh bless you.
May bless him for his divine truth. What brings a man into the character and the same personality that he is. When a man comes to that divine knowledge that he begins to walk as we being sons, we began to walk as our Father has commanded us and given us instructions to walk. Yahshua said that I have meat that ye know not of. The meat, the sustaining strength of his ability, he knew the will and the purpose of Almighty Yahweh. And understanding that, he knew he had to eat that will and to finish the course that was set before him. He could not abandon it in any way, because if he had of, he would have lost, or we would have been lost for eternity. There would be no salvation. And so that's why when he came unto the Jews, he told them, he said this. He said, for ye have not my word abiding in you. For if you did, you will believe on him whom he has sent. He said, now I am the divine expression of Yahweh, the Father. He said, now you search the scriptures. For in them ye think you actually have eternal life. And who is that? Well, you that actually testify of me. He said, you literally think you have eternal life, yet you do not even know this profound manifestation that Almighty Yahweh is expressing in the midst of your house. Now, I want to continue, as I said, with overwhelming scripture, not my opinion. I'm not concerned about what theologians have said, what theology dictate. That is not the issue. I'm concerned about what the scripture says. I'm not concerned about all kinds of reports and doctrines, for we know that that has construed the mind of man. There are so many doctrines today. There are so many demon power, demonations, if I must use that expression. It is one thing about those strongholds, they are not willing to lose that which they have brought into some form of captivity. And so that's where we began to wrestle and began to toil. When we ought to, as the old saints would say, give it to him in prayer. And he will direct your footsteps. I believe that a good man, his steps are ordered by Yahweh. And if we truly believe that, we're walking in his strength and his truth. He shall not direct your steps into perdition. No man is going to tell me that you're always directing him to sin and to do things that are wicked and unholy. That is not the pathway of righteousness. He leads a man into the presence of his glory. When a man understand that Shekinah glory, he began to relish in it, because he's overwhelmed by that glorious presence of his majesty, his power, and his honor, and he is consumed with that. And his mind, his heart, is given over unto this awesome Elohim that he has come into the presence of. And when he realized that, then he submits, bow down before him. There are not many things transpiring today in the assemblies today. They call themselves the house of Yahweh. Sin, first of all, is rampant. And men are not repenting of their sins, their arrogance, their haughtiness, their fleshly manifestation. It is not the will of the Father. And so that's why you don't sense a glorious power in the midst. Don't tell me, saints, that there is a tremendous amount of miracles and manifestation of his power out there. You are deceived in your mind if you actually think that. When his Shekinah glory is in the presence, when he shines bright in the midst of the house, ye shall see the power of Almighty Yahweh manifested in the house and in the camp of his people. I don't care what these deceivers like Benny Hinn and these that profess they have healing ministry. There's only one healing, and it is in the balm of Gilead. and the truth of his righteousness is the healing and the balm for his people. Now that's the power of Yahweh's truth. That is simply that. Now those that have gifts, healing, and tongues, and those manifestation, you don't even see that really in the assemblies today. Very little of that. I want to be guided in the book of Luke. Some things that I do want to point out. Luke chapter 1 and verse 32. As the scripture says, as Paul said, as he was traveling that road to Damascus, and Almighty Yahweh thundered from the heavens in a Hebrew tongue and asked him, what art thou about to do, Paul? Why art thou persecuting me? And he required unto him, O Yahshua, Yahweh, who art thou? But yet he knew that that voice was not some strange voice. Paul knew that emphatically, for he was of the strict sect, and they knew the scripture. They understood the validity of it, the power of it, and Paul walked in the guidance of that strength, of that truth. It was by letter. And what Yahweh did on that road to Damascus, he imparted his profound anointing in to that man. You may have much knowledge of the letter of the scripture, but you need Yahweh's anointing in this hour. You're not going to overcome the powers of hell without that profound anointing. And it will bring us into the power of truth. And you're not bound by anything. My words cannot bind you. No man can bind you. No spirit of darkness that is strange can bind you. But it's one thing that the truth does. It makes a man free from every tradition and from every kind of obligation, whereby he can truly worship Almighty Yahweh in spirit and in truth. He's not bound by some physical contractions, but he has a liberty in the spirit to really cry out unto the Father. I want to read this. Luke chapter 1, verse 32. Let me begin, and yes, verse 32. The angel of Yahweh came unto Mary. I know what the scripture says preceded before that. But it says, as he began to speak unto her, he shall be great, and his name shall be called Son of the Highest. And in that text it says, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of the kingdom there shall be no end. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest. Now, I believe that should be the power of Yahweh. Yet man has taken out this precious and glorious name, and yet he has substituted that for the Highest. And there are all kinds of higher power as men talk today. The higher powers, your higher power. And all kinds of religion. If you think that his name is not important, I will show you with an overwhelming evidence in scripture today. Where he really gets down as Yahweh began to call upon the other gods. And who is the god of the Amorites and the Cushites? And he say, yet I have no name. It can't be. It cannot. He said, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that thing which shall be born unto thee shall be called, it says in that scripture, the Son of God. I believe as the angel talked unto Paul, as Michael the archangel of Yahweh, as he spoke unto him, I believe specifically he gave her the name here. And he spoke, Mary did not speak Greek or any other language. She spoke a simple Aramaic language. For she was a handmaid. She was not of the bourgeois. She was not of the intelligentsia society. She was of the seed of David as Joseph was. That was the lineage that they both came out of. Now I know the scripture doesn't talk about the lineage of Mary, but it talks about the lineage of Joseph. And the angel of Yahweh came unto her, and he gave her at that time the name of the Son. It was not Emmanuel, God with us. It was Yahshua, the salvation of Yahweh's people. And you shall know that I have sealed this seed in her, for he shall birth salvation unto the house of Israel. Now hear this. I want to drop down to verse 46. When Mary was greeted by Elizabeth. Now look at this. Verse 46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify Yahweh. She knew the scriptures. She knew exactly who she was magnifying. And my spirit hath rejoiced in Yahshua, my Savior. For he hath regarded, look at this now. For Yahweh hath regarded my low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, and from his forth all generation shall call me blessed. Verse 49. For he that is mighty have done to me a great thing, and holy is his name. Now I want to emphasize that hallowing of his name. As I was in here this morning, as I heard Elder Holm began to pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Immediately I had to get up and go to the scriptures. I know what the prayer says. But I wanted to look at that in scripture text. He was saying it right from the scripture. But how profound that is, that even as they inquired unto him, how do we pray, Yahshua? And he told them exactly how to pray. For the Father's name is a hallowed name. It is a sanctified name. It is a name that is set apart. It is not some generality or some general name. It is a name that is above every name, that is esteemed above everything. His name is. And for some reason, this, what we call Christian, has rejected and negated that to identify the Heavenly Father. And so we give us him a generality. He is God. He is Lord. No, he is the great Elohim. El Shaddai. He is the Almighty One. And he has a name. He has a name. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things. And he signifies here, and holy is his name. You tell me the phrase or the general term of God, they have polluted that. It is such a polluted God, this and what extremes. What extremes. And yet he has preserved and hidden certain things for the remnant to understand at the latter end. He did it at the beginning. Even Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did not know him by that name, Yahweh. They knew him by El Shaddai. And yet when he brought Israel out of Egypt, he made known his name unto them in a great trial of tribulation and bondage. And when he delivered them in that hour, he made known the specifics of his name. And in this hour, as we enter into a great trial of perplexity and trial, he's going to make known his name and his personality in a way that is much more profound than we have ever envisioned. This is a generation that is constantly sinning and doing it willfully without any thought of what they are doing, because there is no fear of his holy name and his power. And they do without any regard to what the Father says, any whatsoever. Now I want to go some other place. There's something I want to read before I get into this a little deeper. Everything that the Father says is truth. Young man, another day, gave me a scripture, very profound, and I want to read it, what the scripture says. I'm encouraged today, whether you are not, I'm trying to speak words that will give you strength of heart, will cause you to rejoice in the knowledge of his truth. It says in Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6, what a profound statement. And yet he scribbled a note as he gave me the scripture. I put it in my pocket for 2 days. I never looked at it. And then I took it out of my pocket and I looked at it. And I said, what a profound scripture. I believe everything is profound. It's beyond the understanding and the rationalization of the fleshly man. What are you trying to do? Remove us away from Yahweh? No, I'm trying to move us into the divine truth, saints. And all of our walk, we have walked in a way that has not produced the very perfection of the fruit in our lives. It hasn't produced the abundance that he is expecting. And we believe that he is coming. There must be an abundance of fruit when he comes. And we must have that. We're talking about childish, trivial things. Things that are so immature. And this is what the scripture says, Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. He said, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. He said, where's my fear if I'm the master? Every servant fears his master, and every son honoreth his father. Do you hear that? Every son honoreth his father. And Yahshua did not dishonor his father, whether you want to believe that or not. And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith Yahweh of hosts unto you? Then he exclaimed, O priests that despise my name. And we are supposed to be a royal priesthood. And yet we despise the profoundness of his name. Something is drastically wrong in your soul. The son did not despise Yahweh's name. He did not speak it underneath his breath, but he spoke it with the boldness and the proclamation of power that Yahweh had put in his soul. So what a son, if he truly knows the Father, he will not dishonor his name. And we've been a royal priesthood, called to be priests unto Yahweh. That's what the scripture says. You can't have the new without the old, and you can't have the old without the new. You can't separate them. He said, O priest that despise my name, is what he said. He said, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Show us, Yahweh, how we have despised your name. I will show us in scripture how men have despised his name. Do you not understand, even in the 1611 King James Version of the Bible, I will read a little note that I found. That is when they began, because they knew that Yahweh had a name. And so you had this pettiness and this bickering between really the organizations. The Orthodox, the Protestants, and the Catholic organizations. That is who has given the dictates to what we call Christendom today. And so they began to restore his name, and they came with this polluted name, Jehovah. And yet, even at that time, only the J had been introduced the century before that. And so you find one place, his name, Jehovah, and that is not his name. He has a name just like your mother named you. And he named himself because he was from the beginning, and there is no name above that name. And the only way it could be expressed in an Aramaic tongue is Yahshua. Now, when we get into the kingdom, it may be expressed in a different way, because our tongues are polluted, our mouths, our tongues, they're little things, but they're evil. They speak all kinds of things. They say all kinds of trash, because there's an issue in our hearts against him. And so we want to vent our issue against him. So any son that has a father, he honoreth his father. And every father honoreth his son. If he is your master, where's the fear? Where's the honor? If he is the one you serve, where is it? And that's what he wants, saints, whether we believe that or not. He wants honor upon himself. He doesn't want anyone to take his honor or his glory. He's not going to allow anyone to do that, saints. The honor belongs to him and the glory. And he relished that. That's why he inhabited the praises of the saints. When saints began to acknowledge his great king, he inhabits that because he wants honor and glory bestowed upon him. When a man does that, he realizes the mighty feats and the mighty acts that he has done. And his heart glory in that, and he relished the things that the Father has done. O priest, you despise Yahweh's truth. You despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised your name? What have we done to despise your name? They had literally removed the glory of his name from the temple, as they did under the authority of kings, as they would take the name of Yahweh out, and believe me, they replaced it with pagan names of pagan gods. You search the scripture, you will find them, and they didn't go to some god they call God, or some lord. They went to Baal, they went to Molam, they went to Molech, they called them by names. And that is scripture. You will find it all in the text. You search the history. That's why you need to search it and see what scripture says. And all we are set to do is just to defend scripture. Scripture says it, that's it. Well, I don't understand it. You don't have to understand it. It's still truth. He will bring revelation to your heart concerning that. There's revelation when you don't even understand it. You can express it or you can talk about it, but there's a revelation in your soul and you understand the profoundness of it. Even the thought of it makes you rejoice and makes you leap for joy, because there's a profound unction of truth there. There's a light of truth in your soul, and you try to express it to someone, you can't. You try to explain it, but you can't. That is the unction from Almighty Yahweh that will teach and show you things where you would need no man to teach you. He said, wherein have we despised your name? That's the question today. We haven't despised your name. That's this generation and people. And these are the notes that the young man put in the scripture that he gave me. He said, a son honoreth his father by declaring his name. How profound. Even so a servant. When he said that, I thought about how servants honor their kings. Queen Elizabeth. Prince William. And my mind went to those things. How they actually honor them. And when a son really wants to get somewhere with dad or father, he goes beyond those general expressions. He goes with an expression from his heart. He truly does. And so a son honored his father by declaring his name. Even so his servant. By declaring who he or she serves. And he says this. The young man writes this. To despise a name is more than rejection. Despise to or not even worthy to speak or to mention. And so when a man despises his name, so true, he will not speak it. He will not mention his name. And that is what the house of Israel began to do. They had such despite against Yahweh's divine name that they won't even mention it. And so that's what this generation has come under, that illusion and the seductiveness of that power, that spirit. It is a religious thing. And so during the 1611, they said, we will do something to give some credibility. And yet they did not do that at all, because there were great contention and strife and the Protestant movement and Catholicism and all of the other little whorehouses that had sprouted from these movements. They say, well, this tradition... We don't want to rouse the people. They're settled. They're satisfied with that. And that's the way we are. We don't want to be aroused. Don't you know when the great trumpet sound, you're going to have the arousing in you, like the five wise virgins. It was no uncertain sound that they heard. They knew the man that they were waiting on. They were not waiting on some general man. He had a name. No wife today marries a man without knowing his name. They knew who they were waiting on. Don't tell me Sister Miller back there wanted to marry Brother Dolphus and never knowing his name. What is your name? So they were wise. They knew who they were waiting on. When he sounded the trumpet, they knew exactly who he was. He was the Redeemer, the salvation of their souls. They knew the bridegroom. Tell me what bride waits for a bridegroom without knowing him. And we're waiting for a great marriage feast, and we must truly know him. You cannot change, I don't care what men say, you cannot deduct his name Jesus from Yahshua. It doesn't happen that way. It is simply that. It is Yahshua. It's his name. He never changed it. No one can change your name. Your name, my name is David. If I go to Africa or I go to England, it is still David. It is the same, saints. You find in most countries they will try to pronounce it like you. Why is it that, if that's the case, why is it that when we look at articles written about China, what is that basketball player's name and play for the Houston? Tell me. What's his name? What's his first name? Ying, Ming, is that English? What is it? Huh? The new basketball player that is from China, his name is Ying Ming. That is a Chinese name. And so when he came to America, they didn't change his name from Ying Ming. It still stays Ying Ming. Where we go, his name is still Ying Ming. I don't care if he goes to Cuba. And what I did yesterday, I began to search different newspapers. What in Japan, and North Korea, and South Korea. I wanted to see, do their names actually translate? And I found out that that is a law that is never broken in any language, that a man's name is never translated. It is still the literal name. And these men have defied his name because they despised it. He said, you preach, you have despised my name. Where will we despise your name? Because you won't mention it. You won't grab hold to it. And so when you won't use his name, it's because you despise it. Say what you want to, I'm struggling, you despise it. And that's why you will not use it, because you despise it. Just like those vile priests. Are we supposed to be a holy nation? A royal priesthood? Are we not the priests of Yahweh to offer up sacrifices? Then you don't despise his name. You know, let the world and the powers of hell be known who his name is. I don't have to struggle with that. I don't have no compunction with that. For that is his name, Yahshua the Lamb, the hope, the salvation of Israel. For Yahweh is real, and his name has never changed. Man has changed it, but his name has never changed, because they despise it. You must understand how even Catholicism, they despise even for the Jewish nation. And so they establish their own holy land, is what they call it. They establish a vile whorehouse that is filled with every kind of unclean, every kind of uncaged spirit there is. And anyone that goes into that abominable whore, she becomes a partaker of her filth and her drudge and her sludge. Now, you began to walk in that trash, it takes something to get that sludge and that trash off your feet. It takes something. She was not even established upon the premises of peace. Her feet were not shod with the preparation of this anointed truth of peace. Or shod with insurrections and death and killing. And honor unto men instead of Almighty Yahweh. So they move Yahweh's name, and they have put the Pope, the Most Holy Father. There's only one divine Holy Father. And he is above. He's above the earth, and he has a name. Isn't that something that these vile men, they call themselves popes, they all take upon a name of what they call one of the apostles. Pope Paul, Pope John, Pope Peter. Yet they, because they despise that name, even the natural name, they want to get, thinking that's going to get them closer to Yahweh. So what about despise the name? It's more than rejection. How truth? It is more than a man rejecting. That's what the priest did. They despise his name. And he asked him, why you despise my name? What have I not done in my name that I have not declared that I would do? And in the scripture, his name was not, if his name, if Yahshua came in his father's name, then Almighty Yahweh, you must call him Jesus or Jesus. It has to be that. It has to. Because the Father has a name. And we have negated to identify that all these years. We've gone about that. That's not important, but it is important, saints. He's bringing us down to the hour whereby man is not going to live by just a little piece of the bread. He's going to live by everything that Yahweh says. He has instituted it in the scripture, and we must live by. We can't deny it. Many things we have denied. Many assemblies, they deny certain portions because they don't like the way it's phrased. They don't like this or they don't like that. So they deny it. And you're not going to deny his name. You deny it because you despise it. You despise it because there's no joy. It doesn't bring strength. When his name is mentioned, it ought to rouse. It's very anointing. And when he brings us to this profound truth, to the knowledge of this profound truth, it ought to go exceedingly, it ought to make us exceedingly rejoiceful and glad that he has brought us to this knowledge. I'm here to tell you, I'm not going to stop for any of you. I understand that some of you all are weak and some of you all are shallow. Some of you all are dealing with your traditions of your feelings. I understand that. And if you think that I'm a fool, I'm a liar, you are deceived today, my friend. I'm not a deceived man. I'm not a man bent on trying to twist Yahweh's truth. I'm bent on finding the profoundness of his truth that calls us to walk in the power of that image of his son, Yahshua. That's what I want. And what we call this assembly today, it hasn't gone anywhere. It's still beating against the same old doctrines, the same thing. Doctrine is profound. Don't say I deny doctrine. That's not the issue. You must have doctrine. There must be a discipline. Has to be. You've got to have a new excitement every year. The year of prosperity, the year of blessings. That's what they have. The new deal, the new resurrection. Every year there's something new. He is the same. Today, yesterday, and forevermore. And so if you found him 10 years ago, he's the same today. When he saved you, you were walking in all kinds of trash. Yes, you were. And so that's why we count the long suffering of Yahweh's salvation. We just know he suffered along with us. And once we understand that long suffering, we rejoice. You don't get upset with that. He said, you praise, you have despised my name. He had to have a name for them to despise. You can say what you will or may. He had to have a name for them to despise. Well, that was his authority. You preach, you have despised my authority. No, his name generates his authority, his might, his power. Everything that is named in his name, his character is fulfilled in his name. Everything about him is in the name. Everything you want to know about him is in the name. And once you find the name, you will find everything there is to know about him. His truth, his righteous, and there's nothing wicked about him. I want to read this for your understanding. A little historical document. The question is asked, it says, why? Listen to this, please, carefully. I will continue the scriptures. I simply want to read this. I thought it was a very good article that I found. It says, why Yahweh? The term God, G-O-D, whether capitalized or not, is a general, not a specific term. It does not identify any particular God. Other religions identify by name the one to whom devotion is given. But by large, Christians have been ignorant or reluctant to identify the name of the one to whom they give worship. That is even more strange when one considers the many exhortations recorded in Scripture to identify him by name. Many exhortations, 6,800, that exhorts us to identify him by name. Now that's what it says. Listen. There are documented reasons why the Jewish people moved away from identifying Yahweh by name and came to substitute. First of all, in their oral readings and finally in their written scriptures, another word which came to be translated by general terms of God today. Now, Yahweh never told them to despise or to remove his name. He never gave the Jews that authority, nor did he give the Englishmen or any other ethnicity that power and that authority. He never gave them that. Today, scripture translators, listen to this. Today, scripture translators are aware that Yahweh best expressed the name by which the Creator identified himself. Now, this is a man just writing from casual writing. He really is. He said, but because, now listen to this. He said, but because of religious tradition and other reasons, there is reluctancy to restore the name to the written scripture. They're not willing. They don't want to do that. They don't want to do that. He says here, in the 16th century, an attempt was made to restore the proper name by the introduction of Jehovah. But that word falls short for different reasons. The chief one being that there is no J sound in Hebrew language. The best evidence we have available to us indicates that Yahweh is the true name of our Elohim, the one by whom and for whom all things were made, and there we are committed to using his true name. The one he gave himself, Yahweh, means the one who exists, or whose nature is to exist. Then he goes on to say, why Yahshua? Perhaps it would be better to ask, why Jesus? Amen. He says, Jesus is an English transliteration of the Greek Isousos. And it's nothing like the Hebrew name Yahshua, which means Yahweh is salvation. It occurred to me one day that no matter where I travel in the world, no matter what is the language of the people, he says, my name remains the same. It is never translated. This is an inviolable rule of language. A person's name is not translated. You will notice this in the reporting of international news. The name by which a person is identified in this country would be pronounced exactly the same in their country, no matter what the language is. He asked this question. Being Hebrew, Mary and Joseph, bringing their infant son into a Jewish temple to dedicate it, it is unthinkable that Joseph and Mary would have given him any but a Hebrew name to him. The name they most certainly gave to the child is Yahshua. Is that being true? Because it was given of the father to give him that name. Joseph didn't name him no more than John named Zacharias named John. Why was that out of the chronological sequence? Because John, he had to decrease. The emphasis now was not on John. It was on the man that was coming after John. And so he never intended for the emphasis to be on John. He intended for the emphasis to be on him. And so he said, I go out of the room, I take John out, or that name, John, whatever, out of the sequential chronological order of names, and give him another name that will confound the minds of many. Because he did not intend for John to take any glory away from that woman that was in that body. No, he did not intend for that. And he wasn't going to allow John to do that. So he gave him a name, and they said, man, how can that be? That can't be, but it was so, because Yahweh gave him the name. If that then be true, then that is only correct name by which he can be identified today. He is the Almighty Elohim that changes not. His name has never changed through the generations of time. We have changed it, but his name has never changed. You tell me his personality has changed, it has never changed. Now the reason when I read that, I went and looked at an article. I just want to read a little bit of it. Even here in America, as we hear about the things that have happened during the September 11th, and all those men from Arab countries, from Saudi Arabia, Musawi, come on, it took you a while to actually pronounce that name, Osama bin Laden or bin Laden. It's a difficult name to pronounce. But his name is Osama bin Laden wherever he goes. It makes no difference at all. Musawi, his name is Musawi. It makes no difference. Chong Ming, his name is Chong Ming. I don't care where he goes, his name is simply that. It doesn't change. Vicente Fox, president of Mexico, his name is Vicente Fox. When he comes to America, when he's in Mexico, it is still Vicente Fox. It never changed. His name never changed. Now I want to just show you this as I read a little of this article. It says, June 6, a blow to U.S. back road map, peace, militant Islamic group, Hamas, that name, I don't care what you hear it in, it's still Hamas, said on Friday, it is breaking off with Palestine Prime Minister Muhammad Abbas on the ending of attacking Israel. You see that name, his name, Muhammad Abbas, it doesn't change in any reading. So even if I search the other newspapers. Now, they were English, but his name still was that. And it was simply the translation for the English version from South Korea. It was still Muhammad. It was still Abbas. That's his name. Osama bin Laden, it is Osama bin Laden. My name is David. They may pronounce David in Kiswahili, Daudi, but it's still David. And when I was in Kenya, as I went, Pastor Kimani speaking in Kiswahili to other men, he said, oh, I want you to meet, I knew that we sent Pastor Roberts. He will introduce them to me, Pastor David Roberts, from the United States of America. Now, that's all I can understand. But I knew he was introducing me to the brethren. I knew that. His name is Joseph Kimani. And when he comes here, we pronounce it Joseph Kimani. In Kenya, his name is Joseph Kimani. It doesn't change. The city I went to is called Nukura. And it's Nukura in Kiswahili. And it's Nukura in English. It never changes. And the Father's name has never changed. It is through the drudgery of this wickedness of men, because they have despised his name. They won't mention it. They don't want to talk about it. He said, in order for them to avoid that, they are just substitute Lord or God. That's not going to work, my friends. Amen. You're going to declare whose side you are truly on. His name is Yahshua. I don't care what any of you all say. You are wrong. It is show me in scripture. I will show you 6,800 times where he declared his name. And he wanted his name to be exalted. I will show you in scripture things. I hope it opened up your hearts today. You see, that's what the man said, because of your traditions. And the way you believe things ought to be, that you don't want to walk in the light of this truth. Because of your tradition and your feelings, your emotions. That's what a lot of it is based on. You say what you want to. It's based upon your feeling. Well, I just don't think. It's not what you think. It's what he has said. It's truth. It's not how you feel. He could give a nigga with a rat's tongue about how you feel. You tell me how he felt on that cross at Calvary. If you express that to me, then I can understand your feeling. It means nothing to the Father. You tell me when they pierce your side, you feel that? Now, I just want to read a few lines of this because I want to pronounce some of the names. Now, I may butcher them, but that's all right. There's about a senior Hamas official said Friday that the group had broke off. And the official, Abdel Zahid Rostensi, I hope that's how I pronounce it. It may be wrong, but that's all right. It's close enough. You won't know. But his name is pronounced that way in the Islamic country. And the Aramaic, his name is pronounced the same. And even in the English version, his name has not changed one bit. All the letters and the character may be different in Arabic, but the name has not changed, my friends. Not one bit at all. And he goes on to talk about Rantensi, I think that's a better pronouncer, Rantensi, leader and hardliner, told reporters that efforts to reach a truth was off. He said Abbas, Muhammad Abbas, also known as Abu, that's his name now, Abu Mazen, made too many concessions to the summit to President Bush and Israel Minister Ariel Sharon. He says that Abbas called an end to the armies in Fatah. Isn't that something? Because you remember the king, the prime minister that was before, that was Barak, and then that was Sharon. But the one before him, his name was Netanyahu. His name is Netanyahu, Hebrew. In Hebrew, it's Netanyahu. In America, it is Netanyahu. In Japan, it is Netanyahu. It makes no difference. His name is the same. And Barak, after him, his name is Barak. It hasn't changed. Saddam Hussein, all over the world, they know him as Saddam Hussein. That is one inviolatable rule, is that the name of many, languages don't change that. The character of the language may spell that differently, but it's still the name. It is. They may apply characters there to do a little something different, but it is still the name. Now, I'm not going to read all that. You look at the papers as you read. I want to get into the meat of the scriptures for our good. Glory. I want to read this account from Matthew 1:18. It talks about the birth of Yahshua. I want to read this quickly. Matthew 1:18-22. Listen to the word of Yahweh. Now the birth of Yahshua was on this wise. When as his mother was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of Yahweh appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. So we know the lineage of Joseph. He was the son of David, from that lineage of David. He said, fear not to take thee, Mary, thy wife, For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And then he goes on to say, here this man is of the seed of David. He was a man that was not an educated man at all. Spoke Aramaic, a language or a dialect of Syriac. He said, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name, a command. Thou shalt call his name Yahshua, for he shall save his people from their sin. Now that's what Yahweh means. That's what Yahshua means, to save his people from their sin. Jesus doesn't mean that. The Christ part means that. Christo means that. Salvation or some form of redemption. But Yahshua means the salvation and the hope of the people of Yahweh. He came to glorify the Father. To make known his name, because the priests had despised it. They had eradicated it from the temple. His name did not dwell in the high place. And he would come and see the names of Molech and Molcom. Yes, he would see the names of all these gods. And it troubled the Father. Yes, his heart. As he saw the names of all these gods, you search the scriptures. You look in the book of Kings. You look in the book of Chronicles. And you look in the prophet. You will see all of their gods had names and specific names. And when they called upon their gods, they did not go in some general expression unto their gods. They knew their gods by name. They understood their gods by names. Even in the beginning, that the God of Pharaoh, his name was Dagon, half man and half fish. And when Almighty Yahweh delivered them out of that house of bondage, even their God, the statue, the memorial of their God, had fallen down. You think any man could have gone into that court and destroyed the edifice of that God? There's no way they would allow that. They would have killed him. His name is a memorial unto him. It's an eternal memorial. It's an everlasting memorial. And he doesn't intend to share that with any other name. He wants to be known by his name. And if it had been in English, it would still be the same. His name would have never changed. And if it had been in Greek, it still would be the same. It would be his name. And it would not be translated from Greek to Hebrew. You understand that all those men that were fishermen and men that did not have any kind of education at all. John, the only one, Luke, the physician, and Paul, Thaddeus and Bartholomew, and those men, they were not educated men. And they did not speak the foreign languages like Paul. Paul was brought up in a strict Hebrew sect. He was brought up under the feet of Gamaliel. Those men were fishermen. They had hard labor. And they spoke their dialect of Aramaic. When Yahshua came to them, he spoke in that language. And that is the simple truth. And they knew about the power of that name. Yahweh has come in flesh, and he is the salvation of thy people. And so they take that out and they capitalize that in all capital letters. Because Yahweh, if you look at the YHWH, it is all capital. So they capitalize that in all letters, capital letters. His name is Yahshua. For he shall save his people from their sin. Now all this was done. Listen now, verse 22. Listen to this, sage. We are an ignorant people. We need to stop fighting against Yahweh's truth. What was all that done? What? Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of Yahweh by the prophets, saying. Now, all that was done because Isaiah had prophesied it. He had been spoken to by Yahweh. And believe me, Isaiah did not speak Greek. And so all that was done, all that angel came unto Mary, that the scripture being fulfilled. And all the scripture had to be fulfilled. And so he came out there and told her the name. And you call his name Yahshua, not Jesus. As the article says, we ask why Yahshua. Ask why Jesus? Why that? I'm not going to back down on that, saints. I'm not going to be offended at that. I'm going to speak the truth. And if I'm a false brother, I wouldn't come here and lose my soul on the way to hell. I would go on. I would. I don't care who you are. His name is Yahshua. I don't care what your tradition is. I don't care how you've held on to it. Makes no difference at all. It's still the truth. He has a name. And he has not changed from the beginning to the end. His name has never changed. His laws have never changed. And they're not going to change in this dispensation. Not in the what to come. He's legalistic. Everything he says is legal. It's binding. He speaks a word, it's binding. If he tells you you're going to hell, you tell me that's not legal. You're going to hell. If he says you're going to die, you're going to die. Everything he says is legal. Because every word he speaks is a binding word. He doesn't speak folly. He doesn't tell you no jokes. No, he doesn't. Well, Isaiah and Hezekiah, when Yahweh, he knew the memorial of Hezekiah. You see, that man's name was Hezekiah. He was the king. He just didn't go to a man that he went to Hezekiah. And when Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, he began to cry out. Then the memorial, that's what he says, the memorial, the name of Hezekiah began to, the aura of his name began to ooze into the throne of Yahweh. And before Isaiah could get out of the court, he said his name was Isaiah. He did not say a servant. Isaiah turned and went back and spoke unto him the life that Yahweh was given unto him. Now that is what he's doing today, saints. He's trying to speak unto us the life that is going to come forth in this hour. It must be a life and it must be a power in the hearts of his people. It has to be, saints. It has to be. Glory, glory to Yahweh. Yeah, like Shen Yahweh bless you. It's such a beautiful expression.